Hey, Street Fighters, Brett here, letting you know we will be in Indianapolis this Thursday, December 7th, at the Workers' Justice Center. You can find links to all of that on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. Street Fight WCRS is our name. I hope to see you there. You can buy tickets at store.streetfightradio.com, or we'll be taking money and cards at the door. Peace.
Fighters, glad you're back. Hope you're ready to get this started. If you're at work, I know it sucks. Find something better to do than work. Take your mind off of it. You deserve it. If you're commuting on the way to work, you're going to make it through this. You're almost done. And things will get better once you can have that beer or bowl after you clock out. Thank you for tuning in. If it's your first time, you don't know what we do. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. This is Street Fight Radio. We've been on WCRS here in Columbus, Ohio for 6 years now. We've been doing it, spreading the word about flattening out all the hierarchies and spreading the word about the flat-ass earth that we could all live on together in a more egalitarian fashion. If you want to find out more of what we do, check out streetfightradio.com and head over to patreon.com/streetfightradio. You can get a bonus show. You can get our zine that we put out every single month. There's a whole bunch of bonus content over there. So if you need even more Street Fight than what you get on our feed, head over to Patreon. We do a call-in show every single Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in. The number is 614-412-5252. Write that down. It stays the same. Let us know what's going on in your world. Tell us about military recruitment, bad bosses, lying on your resume, whatever it may be. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. That is the beginning of the show. That's it. I'm done.
That's it.
Yeah, I ran out of
stuff.
That was a short one. Sorry.
Jeez.
I'm done. The shirts, we have.
No, it wasn't. It was 2 minutes. But I think time was going by fast for me because I was like, oh, I'm going to have to talk soon. And then.
I didn't want to sell stuff because the shirts, by the time this comes out, you probably missed the shirts. We did pre-orders on the Fighty Bo shirts. That's the ripoff of Natty Bo that we did for our Baltimore show. There might be some extra ones in the store, store.streetfireradio.com, but probably not. But you can get around. We'll have Chronic the Hemp Hog soon, so there'll be other shirts to get in on.
Chronic the Hemp Hog's one that I'll probably wear.
Yeah, I'll be excited to have that as well.
I'll put that one in my pipe and smoke it, I guess.
Here's what I gotta say. I have the Sad Brian shirt. It's great for layering. It's that nice goldenrod color. You just put it underneath something and unzip a little bit, and they're like, ooh, this guy's got a flashy t-shirt on underneath that hoodie.
This guy does colors. He wears colors. He's not
colorful,
like a regular weird guy that only wears blue and black.
He doesn't
gray.
Cover himself in neutrals to fade into the background.
That's what I do. That's a fadey boy is what they call me. He doesn't put a hood on to hide from everybody. He doesn't sleep in a hoodie. I sleep in a hoodie now.
I wear a cloak everywhere, a black cloak with a face mask.
Like the Halloween costume.
I wear a Grim Reaper costume everywhere I go.
You're like that Kevin D. Williamson guy, right?
Yes.
He wears Dracula. A cloak too.
Somebody sent me a fly looking cape that I was like, this might work, but it might be too demonic.
You're not wearing a cape.
This one was tight. It was like it had like red piping on the collar and everything.
It's just you can't wear a cape. It's not like a thing. You can't.
You saw me in it.
People will quit listening if you wear a cape, I think.
People will start wearing capes if I start wearing a cape. I'll tell you what.
I mean, okay.
It's like a Final Fantasy looking character cape.
Can we sell capes in the store then?
Yes.
Once you start wearing a cape, we'll start selling capes.
Yeah. Capery.streetfightradio.com to get your custom fitted cape.
Get a cape, get a hat, like a fancy hat, and a pair of spats.
Here's the thing. Capitalism, trends, all of these things are controlled. They tell us we can't have these products anymore because they're out of fashion, because they're not making any money. We obliterate the whole fashion industry and start wearing whatever we want.
Well, I mean,
except for pajama bottoms in public.
I do that though.
No, don't do that. If your pajama bottoms got a bunch of mud on the back of the heels, trash them and start over.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
get some outside pants.
I wear shorts to bed anyway, so it doesn't ever look like I'm wearing pajamas.
Okay.
It doesn't. I wear shorts. I wear like sweatpants shorts.
Wear jean shorts. Wear carpenter shorts.
I would wear jean shorts to bed. That would be nice. I don't want anybody to know I'm going to bed ever. It's like, whoa, you know.
Get some of those Husky jean shorts that have the elastic in the back, so that way you have a little bit of mobility while you're sleeping. You can toss and turn.
Get some of those Glenn Beck pants. Cut them off.
Yeah, yeah. Then what were they called? 1776? Denim?
Yeah. I didn't know that people slept naked until I got to be an adult. And there's like no way I'm ever going to sleep naked. It's just when people tell me they sleep naked, I'm like, well, you are a free spirit.
Oh, it's so comfortable.
Yeah, I don't like to be naked, though. It's the worst feeling. It's like I always feel like as soon as I decide I'm comfortable being naked, something bad's going to happen.
You can't get much better in the summer, though, than naked. I mean, that's the least restrictive way to be.
That's right. I just started sleeping without a shirt on, like, 4 years ago, I think. I was stretching all my shirts out. My wife was like, you know, you don't have to sleep in a shirt. And I was like, it's an interesting concept. I'll give it a try. And I decided that I like it now, sleeping without a shirt. So I do sleep without a shirt now.
Okay, big step.
Big step.
Yeah. No, I remember that, like, all my shirts, all the graphics were, like, twisted to one side. It's like, what is going on? It's like, well, you're like a torpedo in bed. Like, I'm doing barrel rolls all fucking night. Yeah, just stretching out my shit.
Yeah, if you use...
Don't do that in your street fight shirt.
Drugs and alcohol and stuff, I feel like you shouldn't sleep in a shirt because you're just going to tear the damn thing up. We all sleep so terribly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like it takes fucking 15 different kinds of tranquilizers to take street fight listeners down, and then they go to lay down, and it's like, fuck.
No, that's one of my worst... Like, what's one of my last thought is like... One of my worst last thoughts is like, tunnel vision, it's dark... You're stumbling up the fucking stairs. You kind of fall over in a way that kind of scares you and makes you think, wow, I didn't realize I was that far gone. And then you're like plopped down on the bed and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm wearing my favorite shirt. No. And you're like passing out. And then you wake up and the collar has, there's like a fucking, one of the little ribbing is just like pulled apart, like broke.
Yep. You don't got that shirt anymore. I sleep with a fan so I can never, like, because I don't turn it on until I'm about to fall asleep. Because I'm watching TV and I can't hear it if I turn the fan on. So I never get to just drift off into sleep ever. I bet you if I turn the fan on and turn the TV off, I'd probably get some pretty good sleep. Because I always have really good sleep if I don't start with the TV on. But I'm like, I don't care if I sleep. I don't have a job where I have to sleep at any time.
Yeah, ever. But you shouldn't have people yakking in the room all night long.
I love watching TV in bed, though. That's the only place I like to watch TV. If I'm not in my bed, I don't have any use for TV. I hate it. Like, I'm not a kill your television guy because I watch it in bed. But, like, anytime I'm not laying in bed, I don't need to be sitting down watching that thing. I can do almost anything else. Even to the point where, like, I could look at my phone in a silent room and it would be preferable.
Right. You just need an office chair to sit in.
Yeah. Oh, man. So guess who's at, you know, I'm not even going to make you guess because I hate it when people make people guess out of nowhere. But I got an article sent to me this week from the Chicago Tribune.
Okay.
Tribune, but I called it a tribune. We have a dispatch in Ohio.
Yeah, we have dispatches.
They have a tribune in Chicago. The chief donor to a super political action committee. You can call them super PACs.
Everybody calls them super PACs.
We all know about super PACs. You don't have to explain the whole thing, fancy pants.
We've seen the Netflix documentary about them.
Yeah, we're all against them. We're all against super PACs. Yeah.
Well, until we decide that we're going to make one of our own that is going to go and fight against theirs.
That's true. We would
like
we
Colbert
love
Colbert one.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. We were like, well, we'll use it then. We'll do the Colbert thing. What did he even do?
Sank had one too, right? Wolfpack.
The Wolfpack.
Yeah.
That's what the Chapo guys would call theirs.
Yes.
The Wolfpack. Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack. I like that. Let's start a fighter super pack. Street fight super pack. I don't know what we would lop, just drugs, legal
fist
drugs.
Fist pack. We would call it fist pack.
And then the thing we would send to people when they sign up and donate is a fist pack.
Right.
We'd send them, oh God, I used to have a really, like me and all my friends all had a fist pack. Like we all owned, one that we carried around with.
What was your fist pack? Please tell the listeners.
It was just like a piece of, I don't know what it was. A friend sold it to me for $8. It was almost like a peg on a bike. That was full, and it was like it had
like
been
a rod
filled in, and it was just kind of heavy, and it fit really good in your hands. And I was the fist pack kid. Like, I never punched anybody with it, but it's good to have one around.
It made you feel strong. Yeah, it's like having a 9-volt battery in your hand. You know?
Yeah.
Like, no, when I punch someone, it's going to be really hard.
A lot of my friends had, like, rolls of coins wrapped in electrical tape as tight as it could be. But, yeah, we all pretty much carried fist packs. I mean, we were getting in fights all the time, dude. It was, I never did. I didn't do a whole ton of fighting. I've probably been in, like, 4 fights. But, like, the people I ran around with was basically, like, let's get up today, we'll figure out a way to get a pack of cigarettes, figure out a way to get a little bit of weed, and let's go fight either someone else or each other, basically. And, like, that was the only thing. Like, the most fun days were days where we got into a fight. Like, this is the most interesting days were the days that ended after having been in a fight.
Well, you managed the fight, though.
I didn't even manage the fight.
You managed the guys. You
kind of started it in a way, and then they would defend
me. Let them finish it.
There was a really small, thin kid with a fucking great mouth. Like, really good at running my mouth. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I ended up making a living talking shit, but I'm like, I have one skill, and it's like, I can definitely make you mad enough to want to fight me.
So what's the super PAC doing?
The chief donor to a super PAC airing ads on behalf of embattled Alabama Republican U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore, the pedophile, is a familiar name in Illinois political circles. His name is Richard Uline.
Oh, dun dun dun!
Guys, added again. These guys, this Uline. We gotta do something. Like, all I can think is, like, God, I want to union. What I want to do is, I want to unionize Uline to shut it down, because they would shut the damn place
Ayn Rand
down.
It. Do the Ayn Rand on it.
Yeah, I want to beat them. So, like, I feel like, I know we're not supposed to treat this all like a game and stuff. I want to beat Uline.
I think it's a good
win. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to knock them out. There's other shipping supply companies that will step in to replace them, but we can totally rot that company from the inside.
We have to. We have to. It's such a, like, it's turning into, like, for me at least, a symbol of everything that's bad about the system, the current capitalism,
and the people that empowers, and the people that get to make the decisions and have control and swing around the most money.
Yeah,
which money is votes. That's that's what real voting is.
Yeah, yeah. It says Moore, now 70, has been accused of. Well, we know what he's accused of. I mean, I guess I could say it. He, the Lake Forest businessman, has given $100,000 to the Pro Moore Proven Conservatives PACs in September. Oops, sorry guys. Sorry, it wouldn't
Gals
be
too.
A street fight.
Gals too. And non-binaries.
And yeah, it's 100. So he's given $100,000. It says somewhere
to Roy
in
Moore?
Here. Federal election records show Uline first gave the Pro-More PAC $50,000 on September 8th. That's prior to the Washington Post November 9th report on Moore, and prior to Moore defeating appointed Senator Luther Strange in a runoff for the GOP nomination on September 26th.
Shameful.
Uline gave the PAC another $50,000 on November 22nd after the allegations were raised.
Damn, he gave 50% of his... Wow. He anteed up on him.
He gave 50 G's.
He's old school, man. It's old school.
One of the largest beneficiaries of Uline's donations has been Dan Proft, the unsuccessful 2010 candidate for the Republican nomination of governor and current talk show host. Uline gave Proft's personal campaign committee $595,000, but he's also given the Proft-run Liberty Principles PAC more than $9 million, including $2 million in September. The Liberty Principles PAC is running cable ads touting Burr Ridge Mayor Mickey Straub's primary campaign against House Republican leader Jim Durkin of Western Springs. So, he is putting a lot of money into a lot of concern. Like, it's like Chick-fil-A is like this really terrible thing that has lost business, I believe, for their politics.
Oh, they regret that.
Yeah, yeah. And Uline, I don't know if they can lose business. I did have somebody on Twitter tell me that they told their bosses that they could get office supplies cheaper on eBay, and they switched them to eBay instead of Uline.
This is a great idea. Now, normally we would not tell you to suck up to your boss, but everybody's got to work, and you should totally figure out how to get cheaper supplies for your company and pitch it to them. They will fucking love you. You can get 6 months of freeloading out of that.
Yeah, you could. You could stop working hard for a long time after doing something like that. You could pull a Brett and just be a guy that sits in the corner and doesn't do anything and watches TV and launches a podcast if you wanted to, if you suggested something that saved them any decent amount of money. And yeah, saying eBay is like, that's a pretty easy thing to get them onto. That's, it's like, yeah, shoot me up a
It's not like dark web or anything. No, they know eBay.
And maybe somebody on Twitter or somebody in a labor rights organization could lay out like how much you could save. Like, we could make the presentation. Like, we could make the presentation for switching over, and it would be very, it would be like, all you have to do is go to your boss and say, hey, I think I have a way I can save this company money. And a small business tyrant is going to be all ears to that. And then once you let them know that, we will have the presentation available online for you to download. And you can just type it in.
Figure out what their most common items are and then find replacements for them.
Yeah. Or a meme. We could make a meme that says you could save money. Like, you could
save money divesting from Uline.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to even make it a political thing. It's like, are you throwing money down the Uline tank? like try to take them down, like,
because that's don't what let I've, the Uline U-boat sink your ship.
Because the most common thing I hear about Uline is basically, we order from them because they send us their catalog. Like, they send the catalog to everybody, and people are like, oh, I need office supplies. There's this big, thick catalog with a racist screed in it. I'll go ahead and order all of my supplies from there. But
I think you also assume, like, that if you're a business, you just got to order stuff from a catalog. You know, because that's how business works.
I'm going to try to figure out this eBay office supply thing. We should.
No, I've done it before. I've ordered all kinds of shipping envelopes. Bubble mailers are super cheap on eBay.
So cheaper than
probably
ordering from Staples or Uline.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, is Staples maybe cheaper than Uline? Like, are there things that we could do to specifically target Uline? Like, I would love, I feel like the left doesn't, like, we could all, like, galvanize around destroying one company. You know, just,
well, better than like a boycott too, like better than just like not using them, but actively getting them to lose business.
I mean, yeah. And if you could steal them, if you can steal from Uline, do that, like do anything we can to get at Uline. But I really think like you could unionize Uline and they would just close the damn business. Yeah, immediately. Yeah,
that's a good move too.
Either that or they'll keep it open and there'll be a union there. I could see them keeping it open just so they can keep making money to donate to pedophiles and whoever else they're donating to, you know? What a sick fucking world, man, that like some prominent businessman in the community is donating to a guy that got banned from the local mall for creeping on teens.
Yeah. It's
We drummed that guy out. We used to chase that the creepy pervert older guy that hung around with the teen girls. We used to whoop his ass all the time with our fist packs. We would always be chasing him. He would pull up in his car and somebody would throw something at his car immediately. Like, those people were ostracized at a time in my life and probably would be still ostracized if they weren't a judge. But like, you get so much damn leeway once you get into this politics game,
and right, you just, maybe you achieve power.
Yeah, yeah, Yeah.
And people are like, well, I mean, I stand beside it. And then this whole, then it becomes tribal. We are so into it. Like if it's the Democrats don't like this guy and I don't really want to agree with Democrats. So I guess I like this guy.
They don't. I mean, my thing is like, they don't even have to vote for him. Right. Like they don't. They
no, most
just
people
not,
aren't.
They could just be like, I'm not going to vote for
no,
the Democrat.
They
either.
Won't do that. That's how we got Trump.
That's true. That is true.
We got a lot of people that didn't have the guts to just not vote.
I mean, I don't think Anthony Weiner would win an election now. Do you think Democrats would galvanize behind Anthony Weiner now?
I can see that happening.
Yeah, me neither. I think that like once these guys get, I mean, I have seen some of the like more like those, the crazy Twitter Democrats like get behind Al Franken, but it's like, there's nothing you can do about those, that group of people,
but
you know?
But you got also, this goes into, and this shows itself in a bunch of different weird ways in the world, but I think they, like in the same way that the GOP has a high consolidation of like racists, they do have a high consolidation of people that like think that men are all sexual predators that are just fighting their urges and that they would certainly find all teenage girls attractive. You
that's
know?
True too. That is like a, that like, is a bedrock principle of the United States.
Young woman, you know, coming into her womanhood. A man knows that, you know, they get into that kind of gross shit, you know?
I kind of wish that like I could explain to like the people in my life that maybe don't see what's wrong with like what Matt Lauer did. Like
who's that?
I mean, I've seen people on Facebook saying like, this is getting ridiculous. They'll say like, it's getting ridiculous in the, not in the way of like, this is getting ridiculous. Matt Lauer's a nice guy. How can they take him down like this? And you know, they haven't read what he did either. You know, they're assuming it was something that they would consider innocuous. They didn't read that he like gave somebody a dildo for a present, or like that he pulled his pants down to a woman who came into his office and then yelled at her for not doing anything with it. And it's like, I could see people, I know that I didn't really, I probably, there was a period in my life where I couldn't understand how a guy pulling his pants down in front of you hurts you. I think like there was a period in my life where I mean, I'm sorry, but I was like more of a conservative, I guess more of a conservative person, but really just more of an idiot. I was a
young
smart guy.
Stupid. Yeah. Young and stupid and macho. And, I mean, that's what everything was. I mean, you came up in the 90s where it was very different.
And,
I mean,
but like
popular songs on the radio were screaming like the F word and shit.
Yeah. And I think that like when, like they don't understand, they don't look at the other side of it where it's like, I'm a woman who's at work doing my job at work and I have to go in and talk to this really powerful dude and I'm probably already intimidated and I just want to go in and have a professional conversation with somebody and he pulls his fucking dick out. And it's like, how heartbreaking that is for me to think of now. Like it's just like, it's not only threatening and I think it's like, but it also like goes to like a lot of like just a lot of stereotypes about people in the office in general. Well, about like tokenizing women and things like that. Like the way,
but it just adds that fear, man. It just, because like that is a place where like everybody here wears like smart casual clothes that they put buttons on. They make sure that they're, all of their shirts are tied closed with like silk cloth. Like everybody here is not nude, you know?
Yeah, everybody's there to do fucking
to
work.
Right. And then all of a sudden someone's like busting out like, let's do some sex shit. And it's
gives
like,
them a dildo for a, gives them a dildo for a present.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck, dude? And like you could, I could see how deflating that would be on top of like just you've been victimized and you've been, I mean, harassment and assault, like sexual assault, like I don't think they're too strong of words for like the kinds of things he did. But I know that there are a lot of people who aren't as tuned in to like exactly what he did that don't understand that and would never look at it that
way. People are awful too. I mean, there's just a huge amount of guys like are just fucking trash, man.
But I've been seeing a lot of stories from women, and my wife has relayed stories to me, and I've had people on Twitter like at me with stories about like women in like restaurant work, women in like just regular offices, like they're, or like women in the construction industry. Like it's very hostile out there still, even though every woman has to work. It's still super hostile out there towards them. And it's heartbreaking that like these things happen to women also that are like this stuff happens everywhere from the bottom when a teenage girl gets a job at a restaurant all the way to like when a woman is 50 years old and walks into some guy's office and he's fucking jerking off in front of her. Like it never gets easier for them. You know, there's not a level where it's not easier for men to be men than it is for women to be women. Does that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the culture is like, it sucks because it's those guys that don't want to have those conversations. This is what it comes down to is like, you know, we're not trying to castrate every guy and call them sexual assaulters, but it's pretty goddamn obvious what's going on around. I mean, I notice it. I mean, it's obvious to everybody, you know, and I have mentioned it before, but I remember guys talking about pulling their dick out all the time. Yeah. You know, they're like, you know, girls don't know what to do, man. They just will suck it or fuck it. They don't know. And it's like that type of shit is atrocious. You know, I mean, it's like, and it is also regular culture. I mean, most folks, man, it's bad out there. It's bad out there. And it sucks because like we were saying on that call-in show, the people that fucking hate feminism will tell like 10 jokes that denigrate women. And they're like, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I just think you have smaller brains, or I just think you can't be trusted, you know, or I think I can convince you to fuck me. You know, every woman is some sort of Rubik's cube that I can unlock and fuck.
Or even like when you say Rubik's cube, it's like every woman is a potential, like this idea
that's
that
true.
Every woman you come in contact with,
I could take her to bed. What suggests that? I mean, answer phones next to her.
I used to know guys that I always had a couple of friends that were women that it was totally like all my best friends in high school and like in the later years of high school and when I first got out, like the best friends that I had were actually women, and like even my parents thought that was fucking weird, you know, that it was like I wasn't trying to date them or anything. And it's like, well, I like this person like as a person. There were just people I didn't like, and my friends would make fun of me for stuff like that. You know, I got made fun of a lot back when I was in like 9th, 10th and 11th grade. And even my senior year, I was really good friends with this woman named Tiffany, this girl, Tiffany, that went to school with me, who she had moved into our neighborhood. And like all my friends like were basically creeping on her. And I'm just like the type of dude that just doesn't. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that is, I'm not, I won't ever, like, my wife started with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very afraid of propositioning women at all. Like, my default thought is that every woman thinks I'm ugly and not worth being around. So, like, when I meet them, I don't even have that thought in my mind usually. I'm fucked up, you know? But, like,
yeah.
But like I am, it's really weird. It's I would almost consider myself asexual if I didn't like love to have sex, you know, like I just, when I meet somebody,
anxiety and shit.
Yeah. I immediately assume that like, even if they might like me, it's not worth the risk of them telling me that they don't like me. So I just err on the side that women just can't stand me. Like, even now, like, when I take pictures with people after shows, a lot of time I put my hands, like, in front of me. So they're like, he's not attracted to me, so I don't have to tell him he's ugly. Just basically, the like, how it plays out in my mind, you know? And I would be friends. I'm explaining. And I would be friends with women, and my friends would all think that I was, like, either one, playing the long game, which is really insulting. And, like, now that I'm older and I think about it, I'm like, wow, that's, like, really, like, insulting to both of us in a way. Like, she's not somebody that I could confide in and be friends with. Like, I have to be constantly on the hunt. But, like, it's just that it's like, it always struck me how much dudes sexualize women. Yeah. Like that's
the biggest wave. That's the hardest wave to push against, because it is literally everywhere. It's on, like, our fruits and vegetables. Like, everything is sexualized.
Right. And it's hard even, like, it's hard to tell guys, like, cut it, stop it. You know what I mean? Because they feel like it's a natural biological urge for you to judge every woman in that way. And that's the sort of thing that leads guys that are in power and that actually have the power and know it. That's what leads them to doing these things, is that, like, it's just assumed by a lot of the general public that that's what we're all doing. We're all trying to just basically, all the men and all the women are, like, trying to have sex with each other.
Pussy makes the world go round. Yeah. And men are trying to get it, and they need money to do that.
But it's not true. Power. It's not true.
And that's like, literally, that is, how many times is that quote being shared on Instagram right now?
Right. And it's not true. And it's, I don't surround myself with people like that anymore. Like, I have found.
Oh, I know.
A very good group of people that when I hear it now, I'm, like, really shocked. I did, like, a couple, like, last summer or something, I was hanging out and we were talking about fucking everything, the things I know, wrestling and MMA and stuff. We're just kind of talking about that kind of stuff, and, like, I brought up Ronda Rousey, and the first thing this guy said was, would you? And I was just like, I gotta get the fuck out of this room. Like, I said, like, I don't, it was so it was such an uncomfortable exchange that it was like, I don't really look at her like that. She's out there to fight, and I'm there to watch somebody fight, you know? And that was a really glaring thing, because when a woman goes out to fight, she's got her hair pulled real tight. Like, she is not going out there to titillate you.
No.
It's not titillating.
She doesn't have the lingerie on.
Yeah.
She didn't get a blowout today.
No, she's fighting.
Her nails ain't done.
She's trying to go beat somebody up, and that's what I'm looking at, and that's what I'm interested in when she's on
rubbed
TV.
Down in, she's rubbed down in, like, Vaseline and Bengay.
Yeah, and they take it like you're not allowed to say that women are beautiful, or you're not allowed to say a woman's pretty, or, like, Geraldo today is saying, like, oh, you're not allowed to flirt, and it's like, no, that's, like, nobody's saying that. It's like that. If you sexualize every single woman in your life and you flirt with them, that's fucking inappropriate. Right. There are relationships that you have with other people that are not sexual and don't need to be sexual. And if you're making those situations sexual, then yes, you're fucking harassing somebody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you take every opportunity you can to mention that you could be having sex, it's because something's wrong with you. It's not natural. You're, like, uncomfortable. You're bad at a bad friend and coworker and person. Like, you have to work on it.
God,
that's what it is. And I feel like they give it up, and they're just like, it's just, you know, guys are just like this. It's like, it's not, though. I mean, there's plenty of situations, and, you know, I'm wrapped in the most traditional of marriages, guys and gals, cats and dogs trying to live together and all of that shit. And there has to be none of that constant berating and, like, bullshit that comes with all of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't surround myself with people like that. And I just realized that most people think that, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. That's the way it is. Guys are going to be abusers. There's nothing you can do about it. And like you said, someone whipping their fucking dick out is like, well, he's just giving them a choice. He's just like putting all of his cards on the table. It's like, are you fucking serious? All those defenders of Louis C.K. that I saw was just awful.
But again, too, again, the people
are like, he asked if he could take his dick out. It's like, why though? Like you should be, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. Like you have to convince her to do that for you. You know, like it's not upon you to just put your dick out there like that. You know, like I don't know. It's totally fucking inappropriate.
I think like when you're
with, to even mention it, like if it's not appropriate, like it's not fucking appropriate.
Yeah. You're with colleagues.
Yeah.
You're with people that you're supposed to have a professional respect for. And then you give them the idea that you're hanging out in a professional capacity and that you want to hang with them. They go to your room because they think you're hanging out in a professional capacity. And then you say, can I pull my dick off and jerk off in front of you? Like, I don't see how you can't see that that's wrong. The only thing I can think is like that people think the entertainment business is this whole big fucking different thing, but it's not.
No,
like they were it's those women. People. That was the thing when I heard about the women that he was
Garfunkel
doing that to,
or whatever.
Yeah, or any of the women that he was doing that to, and hearing that they were comics, like my heart fucking sank, you know, because it was just like, man, you know, this is not gonna happen to me. I'm not gonna be like this isn't the sort of thing that would ever happen to me, but like in my mind I can put myself in their position of like feeling like, holy shit, this guy, the biggest guy in my business in the entire fucking world, wants to hear about me. Like, this is my chance to talk to another professional that's above me and get some kind of wisdom out of him. And he's interested in what I have to say. This is great. And then you get to the place that you're going to meet, and that's what it's for. There's this ulterior motive, this disgusting fucking ulterior motive. Like, it really fucking bums me out when I think, because it's just it's fucking mean, you know? Well, like it's really mean. It hurts, and I don't think people see how much it hurts. I don't even think that, like, I just don't think that people get the gravity of something like that.
Dude, I'm telling you, and that's what this is what the thing about it is. And he's going to get on the show eventually, but I was explaining this to T, Ricky Rawls on Twitter, was I'm not trying to say like I got a bad, you know, with my lot in life, but the straight white male experience is one where me and you have seen and heard and been a part of conversations that everybody, all the POCs, all the women know that white dudes are having these conversations about them, but they don't do it when they're around, and they totally fucking do it as soon as people leave the room. Yeah. Racist and sexist jokes come out as soon as guys. I get so goddamn nervous when like the last woman leaves the room and I'm in a dicey place, cause I have no idea what a fucking guy's going to say next. Cause I, you know, then I have to be a baby and storm out of the room or something, you know, like that. So I don't know. Like
how do you even know, Brett? How do you even, like, I always wonder like how you even know that it's wrong if you're steeped in it and raised in it, and like even the women in your life say those
that's
sorts
the thing
of
true.
Things too.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, like, women will talk some shit about women.
Yeah, everybody in my life is saying this. It took me like 3 fucking decades to figure it out. Almost 4 fucking decades to figure it out. Maybe I'm slow, and I know there are a lot of people out there that are younger now that are figuring it out at a way younger age. They have access to information, but
we have our foot in both worlds. Like, we literally came up in a place where like a guy was supposed to get what he wanted, you know, mm-hmm. including the girl that he wanted. And, you know, girls kind of like it, you know, that was the Fred Astaire. I mean, that's the old school since forever. But now that like all the information has been like flattened and everybody is now talking and getting the stories of people that were on the receiving end of that kind of treatment. It's totally blown the whole thing open. But still, very small. This is happening in a very small corner of the culture, I feel like, because most people are going on their day backing up their sexual assaulter buddies, you know? They do that, you know, they hang out with some wild girls, you know, or, you know, they just blame it on women or, you know, don't ever hold people accountable because they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to stop being friends with somebody or something stupid like that, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is weird.
Or have to confront it. It comes down to people just don't want to confront it. Like when you get to work is such a hassle because it's like, we don't want to be the kind of workplace that had to fire a guy because he was a sexual assaulter. You know, like I feel like that sometimes that's really kind of dictates what their actions are going to be.
We talk a lot about that with the restaurant industry, that like where it's like if you're in a small town and then sexual harassment comes up, or even a medium size, like all these chefs fucking know each other. All these people in this little area know each other. And so if a manager pulls his dick out as a joke and you kind of raise hell about it, then you might not work in another kitchen because they think you're easily offended. I think that's the other thing that people get so wrong. They really do think it's some easily, like these people are easily offended. Like I don't see myself as an easily offended guy. I have a pretty high tolerance for problematic shit. Like, I'm very high tolerance for it. I'm offended by these things. Like these things bother me, and it's not like it's not offended in the way that you think I want to do a letter writing campaign. It's that, you know, it's heartbreaking. It sucks, and I feel helpless, and I feel helpless to change any of it.
Yeah, this is the cheapest plea, but like for me. Knowing my daughter is coming up in this and thinking of all the fucking people that have their targets on her just is hard to swallow. I remember when my sister was like 7 or 8 years old, some guy was driving around the neighborhood and opened up his car door and fucking showed his dick while he was beating off.
Happened to my wife when she was young. Well, I think about my wife too, somebody who's been going through it for her whole fucking life, you know? And I'm like, the more stories I hear from her, the more I'm just like, damn, you know, I wish I would have been more receptive to this stuff at other times in my life. And I wish this story could get to like her dad.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know, and a lot of this comes down to really the breaking point for a lot of this is that if you get a guy and a girl alone in a room, it's going to split down the middle. People are going to say, well, we can't really say who's right, you know, it's he said, she said. And that's what I think perpetuates a lot of this. And what gets a lot of people away with that shit is that enough of these fucking disgusting dudes will go and back it up and being like, well, you know, who's to say they were both pretty plastered that night? Who's to say what happened? It's like, well, she said what happened. She said it was super uncomfortable and she said what happened. Yeah, well, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
She'll just disappear, and then you know we can be friends with somebody else.
Yeah, my real hope right now is that we keep, like, my hope right now is that we figure out a way to get this information out without people thinking it's a scam to gain political power or something. Because I don't think it's
bust everybody, dude.
Yeah,
I mean we're clean too. That's the thing too. You get like there was no skeletons in our closet. We are good to go. I'm ready for my time in this media spotlight. Turn the brightest light on me.
I mean,
there ain't a dick pic out there.
No. Well, yeah. No, definitely not. I don't have the guts to do it. Like, I'm just, for me, it's like.
You probably think my dick is ugly.
You probably would think I have a weird dick. That would fucking kill me. The first girl I ever, like, made out with, who, by the way, came to me, got me drunk, and then started making out with me.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've, it's like I said, when I didn't get fired, right? I've never sat in the room and had the person across from me say you're fired, because I'm such a huge bag of fucking nerves that I just can't stand the thought of that uncomfortable social interaction. It's the same way with asking women out. I think I'm just like kind of a coward. Like I'm very conservative socially where it's like, I don't want to put myself out there at all. I don't want to take any, I'm risk averse.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do anything. Like you could, a woman would have to touch me first before yes. I would even start thinking like, okay, there might be something, some attraction going. She would have to like lightly like touch me in a way that was overtly like, so that, right. to show me, because I like other Gro- than that, it's
grope
like,
you under the table.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I spill something in my lap?
Because I'm just terrified. I don't know if that doesn't make me a good person or anything.
No, you got to make them want you, man.
What?
That's how you make them want you, though.
I don't think that's true.
That's true.
I just like, I don't think it makes me any better than. It makes me better than these guys that's that have true. Gone You're down no Matt for Lauer. It. I will say that I'm better than Matt Lauer. But I also think that, like,
here's
my anxiety probably keeps me out of all different kinds of trouble. You know, there's just all kinds of trouble I don't get into because I'm fucking anxious about every decision I make.
And I'll keep it real deal Holyfield and say that I've definitely dated some women, been successful in sexual endeavors. And it also is a culture where men are pushed to at least ask women, you know, we haven't reached a lot of that gender parity where women are like proposing to men and shit.
Dude,
there is still like that lingering pressure of like make a move type thing. But what I gotta say, what I've said before is that like, do not worry about making moves ever. That is the worst thing to spend your time on, and that you're only going to trip over your own dick. The best way the best way to find somebody that you're going to make good ass love with is just listen to them and be interested in the shit that they're in, and then it happens from there. That's the only thing. Like, you got to take like all of that like conquering shit out of it, man. That's like so. It is dehumanizing.
It is.
You know?
It
is. And it's like, we can talk about your favorite TV show. We can have a discussion about literature, books, the traffic, whatever it is. But like, you got to get those brain juices flowing. And then like, then you have some that good ass sex.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there's any women that are, I really don't think it's like flirting. I think it's weird. These guys that have now all of a sudden it's been like, now I feel like I can't even flirt. And I'm like, you're allowed to flirt. Pulling your dick out isn't flirting. That's right. Not having a secret lock under your desk. Like, that's not right. Flirting. Yeah, that's trapping.
We know what fucking suave is. Like, why don't you go read a book or learn French or something. And that's fucking flirting. Okay. It's not just like saying like, damn, your ass looks good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay.
I mean, it's just, they're not, nobody, there's this idea that people are trying to like change, they're trying to change the bad things, but like, you're still allowed to be in love with women,
yeah.
And you're still allowed to ask women on dates, and you're still allowed to do all of that stuff.
And women still want you to woo them. Yes. They still want you, and men, like both ways, like everybody still wants to fall in love and find those mates and shit, but like, we have a really sick and disgusting problem that's going on. And how many people have to get brought up on this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like relentless at this point, but it'll make an, here's the thing. I think that when you do a weekly political show, you feel like you talk about a problem and then you're like, there's never a solution though. There's no like concrete thing that happens. But really, the way that culture and evolution and all that stuff is that it will have ripple. This is going to have ripple effects for a very, very long time.
Yeah. What is happening now is going to change behavior.
Yes,
for sure. And like, that's all that counts. But I really want it to be like a voluntary change of behavior. You know, that's the way I think about it is like, I want men to understand that like, this is good that we're doing this. This isn't taking anything away from you. This isn't taking in, this isn't taking really any of the tools from your arsenal if you're a decent human being. Yeah. You know, this is like, you're still gonna find love. You know, I fucking somehow did. You know, you somehow did. It like, it just,
I mean, yeah, it's the disregard for women is something that is obvious, blatant, and very real and happening all the fucking time. We're swimming in it. Like, that's what having a daughter really ratcheted that up, like I said before. Well, and like, that's where we're fucking at. And you don't, you know, you don't have to upheave your whole life, but we have to start living in a world where we know that is happening. You know, I'm tired of the people complaining about feminism like it's rubbish and shit, especially coming from the most disgusting, like, misogynist people.
Well, and there's a lot, I do want to say also that there's a lot of, like, people with daughters that are this bad.
Oh, I know.
That are terrible. They'll shoot their daughter's boyfriend if they want, but they are just as bad. So,
yeah. Well, and that goes along, and this goes along with the Roy Moore thing, though, in that, you know, this does go back to a time that these people talk about where a 17 or 18 year old girl was really just prime picking for a wife in their minds. Like, they just think of women as some sort of crop that you harvest when they turn 19 and some, you know, Dick Van Dyke guy gives them all his money and resources and a new vacuum for them to run, you know,
a Dick Van Dyke guy.
Right. Somebody in a gray suit with a red tie.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Ripe for the picking. It's so disgusting.
It is bad. It's atrocious, and it's obvious. And I mean, keep putting it out there. They can't deny what's going on. And it makes them uncomfortable, and that's enough. I mean, we're never going to get them to admit it. And they're going to be shitheads till the very end, but we just got to keep pushing back harder, you know, ramping it up.
Yeah. Well, let's go.
I mean, Bill O'Reilly got motherfucking busted, like all their people too.
They're all doing it. It's it's powerful dudes. They just do it. That's the way it is. It seems like,
the dude from Brand New, that was a heartbreaking one.
The dude, I never listened to Brand New.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to hear any of the bands that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's another story. Let's move off of the male feminism beat.
Yeah, I know. I feel like, you know what? Didn't we already do that?
No, I don't think we've ever talked about that. That's not the kind of thing we would talk about on any regular. Because halfway through it, I was like, "This is not regular street fight stuff." I try to steer. I really am like a steer clear of two dudes talking about feminism.
Dude, it's been bugging me. I seriously, if you go on my notes app on my phone, I have like three or four screeds that like I've written out and not posted because I didn't want to be like too cringy about it. But I was like, this whole thing is really bothering me because looking online and seeing what people are saying, it's just like, it's fucking not that way though. You know, you just want to, it's just a time when you grab people by the face and scream into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I want to yell about it too. I guess we just did it. We just did, sure, like 30 minutes and you know, I like to let women talk about feminism. Like, that's kind of my policy, but I, yeah, also, but
there's
feel also like,
there's a piece of shit listening to this show right now that that has done some stupid ass things to a woman.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like it is our responsibility to say something. Like, you have to say something. We're guys that do political stuff, and you have to say something. You just don't want to be like, I don't want to be Jamie Kilstein, except for I've never harassed anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to end up like him, but I don't want to be who he was at the beginning either.
Okay.
Women
so here,
talk about feminism, and we talk about how men can be better.
Can
I
pause it? Hear me out. You're complex. You're too embarrassed to even get involved with the idea of like creeping on a woman. I am obsessed with being so pristine that I would be embarrassed to shreds if it were ever to come out that I was like cheating or like, you know, hitting on women or grabbing their butts when I took pictures and shit, I would be fucking mortified to have that out there. I do not want to get Matt Lauer'd ever. Ever, ever, ever. I think about, like, I'm guilty about, I stay up at night thinking of guilty shit from when I was like 14 years old that I just have to like get over and forgive myself for, you know?
Yeah.
But just like some guilty thought in my mind comes up. It's like, gulp.
Yeah, I kind of,
I'm not trying to do any more of those.
Yeah, I kind of think a lot about the like some of the more like when I was a little more, like I see some of my, the Wayback Machine gimmick thing, the,
oh yeah, your memories on this day.
You see your old racist opinions, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, man, why were you like this? You know, I mean, I was never like using N words and stuff like that. I just had bad, edgy, racist opinions, and I fucking wish I didn't. You know, like I wish that never happened to me, but it did. So I just deal with it. You know, I leave it up. If you want to go on my Facebook and see my bad opinions from 2009, you're welcome to. I don't think I've ever said on this show I was ever perfect. I probably wasn't even like decent until 3 years ago.
No, I don't think I am. I don't think I am, but I would just be, I couldn't imagine having the papers write something like that about me.
No.
I would be, oh.
Yeah, we got to be good boys, man. And again, I also don't have the same sorts of, like, when I do comedy with a woman, I don't look at that woman as maybe possibly later we would be having sex. I look at her as another comedian that's on the show with me, like I look at Brett, who is also another comedian on the show with me.
Yeah, fucking funny stuff.
Well, not like Brett. I probably like Brett better than any woman that would do a show.
Sure.
I mean, I like Brett better than almost anybody, really. I don't know my wife. I like my wife better than Brett, than basically Brett, and then probably like nobody else.
Because you're a male chauvinist pig and because you use her for sex.
I don't use my wife for sex, okay? Jeez. So I wanted to get a couple. I wanted to get this other political action. So I guess we'll talk about like kind of things that are happening, you know, like people that are doing, like the other big story right now, I feel, is the net neutrality bill. That has become a pretty big, that's I think the biggest thing that's going on outside of all these men sexually harassing people.
Right.
And I saw this story. Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai asked people to stop harassing his family over his attempts to roll back net neutrality provisions. During a Monday interview on Fox News, Pai addressed a sign that was put up outside his home that mentioned his children's names and read, "They will come to know the truth. Dad murdered democracy in cold blood."
Damn. Who is this? A representative?
The guy, the chairman of the FCC that's trying to roll back the net neutrality.
Wow. Stuff. Okay. That sends a message.
Yeah. Well,
seems
you know
like
what?
It's working.
Don't do it.
Yeah. I think that's pretty strong.
It certainly crosses a line with me, Pai said. Who gives a shit? I understand that people are passionate about policy, but the one thing in America that should remain sacred is that families, wives, and kids should remain out of it.
No.
Well, no. I didn't
agree
to that at all.
I disagree. Like, I'm living my wholesome life. I'm living so wholesome that I think my kid and wife are safe. You doing some fucked up dirty shit. So dirty that people will probably drag your wives and kids into it.
I never agreed to, he said, and stop harassing us at our homes. It's like, you know, they used to come and grab you out of your home and dump tar and feathers on you and ride you out of town on a rail with a rail on your nuts.
Yeah.
Like that was those. Now we're just putting signs outside of your house.
Yeah. Now we're just buying elaborate LED billboards.
Pizza is also reportedly sent to his house every half hour last night. They were
bombarding him.
Was ordering pizzas for him every half hour.
Wow. I love this. This is the kind of shit that I wanted to happen when we started the fucking show. This is exactly what we need. This is what people respond to. And this is what I swear, because we've gotten to like, here's the thing about net neutrality. I give zero fucks about it because everybody is making such a fucking big deal about it that I cannot see it happening. It's like the Trump care thing. It's I don't know
about this one. Is not.
It's not going to happen.
Here's the thing about net neutrality. It's not like an issue we're voting on or anything. And I don't think that it's elected officials that are making this decision. It's appointees. And that is the kind of thing
but
where they can.
They're getting their fucking houses.
I know. That's rad as
their
hell.
Their kids
but
are being threatened.
If they didn't do that, if there weren't people caring about it right now, you know, we might be in some deep shit.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, that's really what is going to make it not happen.
Yeah.
I'm saying personally, I'm not doing that, but I know other people are raising a ruckus. So I can't see it going through.
He said they should leave. They should leave my family out of this issue and focus on debating the merits of the issue. It's funny because they'll just tear somebody's family apart.
Sure.
Like the government will just tear somebody's family apart and throw them in prison for having a plant.
Yeah.
Like they don't think that affects people's families
no,
at all?
Yeah, they'll go to someone's high school graduation and take their parents away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That they get to do it. But I don't know where they got this idea that they're off limits. I don't want violence to happen to them, but fuck, man. If you can make their lives uncomfortable, fuck it. They were born into it, but they're privileged as shit anyway. Fuck it. Who cares?
Bullying is certainly allowed. You're able to snicker, mock, spit on the ground in front of, you know, swing at, and then threaten that if they walk into your fist that it was their fault.
And you know what? They didn't threaten anybody.
No.
They said, he's killing democracy.
Yeah.
That's not, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's a corny.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the sign, like somebody maybe make a funny sign and put it there.
Your child shall see the destruction of the most sacred of documents. It's blasphemy.
Yeah. I'm hoping, man, that like, it says, he said like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
Who's pro? No one's pro. Who's pro?
The people with all the fucking money. The U-lines are pro. The people that make the goddamn decisions are pro.
I haven't seen any pro stuff.
Comcast posted, hey, if y'all let them repeal that, then we won't charge you any more for fast lanes. And then the next day said, here's some of the stuff you could have if the new net, dude, if this thing went through. Yeah, they did it over one day. Like, said we aren't going to make any changes, and then the next day said check out what you could get. Right. I mean, it's like, it's not a lot of real actual people on the ground people, and there's not like a pundit that's for it, but it's the sort of thing that can happen because there's a small group of people with a lot of influence that can make it seem like there's a lot of people. Those fucking Koch brothers made all kinds of shit happen, and nobody believes in the shit that they're into.
But if net neutrality goes down, then me and you get to do like the radio show from that movie Hackers. Like, we'll be able to take over like payphones and shit and have people call in to listen. Like, we're going to be on a completely under, it's going to like split us into like a dystopian cyberpunk universe.
It would be cool to replace the, it's like almost
to have
feels
an
like,
illegal internet, to have a completely illegal internet.
Yeah, to replace the, I wish we could take this and make some sort of a wireless kind of thing that doesn't need all that infrastructure,
right?
Like, would be really great, because like the internet is not going well. The actual internet, like, I always think about it now, and I'm like, we only go to like 6 websites now. Like, when it first started,
oh yeah,
you were going to like, you know, you wanted to know what was going on with the Avengers, you had to go to the avengers.com and look at what they were doing. Then you go to another website. Now everything happens on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and fucking
Insta.
Yeah, Instagram, Yahoo, Google. Like, we're all going, Yahoo might be pushing it, but
well,
you still see a lot of
baby boomers
Yahoo.
Are still Yahooing.
Bing.
Like, I'll never give that goddamn Google my money.
Love that guy. I love Yahoo. It's a more fun name. Yahoo. Yeah. I want to do one more story here. It's a work story, and I just thought it was funny. It's a tweet. It's just a tweet.
Okay.
It's Sam Sweeney from ABC tweeted this today. Breaking. American Airlines says computer glitch allowed all pilots to take vacation over Christmas week. Now union says thousands of flights are in jeopardy of cancellation. Americans say they're offering time. American says they're offering time and a half for pilots to fill in and expect to resolve the issue. If I was the pilots, I'd hold out for.
Yeah. Because
you, when I worked Christmas Eve one year at Chuck E. Cheese, now I was only making $4.50 an hour. I made double time and a half. And I feel like for a Christmas, like for Christmas, double time and a half
is
the minimum. Yeah, it is. I hate to say it, but like the only day that it's universally agreed that everybody should get off. It's fucking Christmas now.
Oh, yeah.
We've lost all the rest of them.
This is the country founded on American Jesus.
Yeah.
And he was born on this day.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And you get all of the stuff you wanted. That's what I was pondering this week was, like, I should be revolting against Christianity, like not letting me buy spirits on Sundays and, you know, They're all the vices. No prostitution, no legal drugs, but I get all the stuff I wanted at the end of the year, and I'm like, well, I guess I can celebrate Jesus' birthday. I guess I can be Christian one day out of the year.
Yeah, I don't care. I think his Christmas name is fine.
His name is in it. You gotta say Xmas if you're really bad about it.
I am. I do say it. I spell it Xmas. I don't like that Christ shit. I try to get the Christ out of Christmas. I do like them Starbucks cups, though. It's like, ooh, what are they going? What kind of Christian? What kind of anti-Christian thing is Starbucks going to do this year?
What was the story?
Oh, just it was. I just saw it as like I just lost it. It was so American Airlines had a computer glitch.
Yes, sorry.
And it accidentally gave everybody Christmas off.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think they should do it. I don't think they should work at all. I think they should just have their time off.
I don't know how, like, I wish that they would all just take the damn day off. They requested the day off.
They got it.
They should get the day off.
What's the computer say? Computer says they got the day off.
This email I have right here, but I mean, people love time and a half too. Like if there's one thing that the working class, and I don't know if pilots are considered working class, but the one thing I know from
They want to put up a gazebo next year, so they could use some time and a half.
Time and a half is so appealing. Double time and a half.
Yeah, you can't. Time and a half is bullshit because time and a half is just some overtime shit. You're right. That's like that means I worked 8 hours today and I'm putting in a little extra. No, I'm getting up on the day. The day, the one where I get all the gifts, I get to give all the gifts, and everybody's having a celebration, and most people ain't fucking working.
I sit in on the couch in my pajamas and vape weed and fucking watch Gremlins.
Put some of Grandpa's Christmas cheer in your coffee when you get up first thing.
Yeah.
Be drunk as shit by noon and asleep on the Lazy Boy. And then wake up and put on a whole bunch of brand new fucking socks and underwear.
Helping a damn kid put their toys or get their stuff working. It's great.
Yeah. Christmas is battery. Great. Yeah. Play with all the toys, assemble bicycles, and then eat a fucking feast.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay me time and a half to miss that. Hell no. Tell those people to do a staycation this year.
Double time and a half.
Is that three times? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying you get paid. Okay. When I got paid it, I was making $4.50 an hour, right? So I made $9 plus half of $9, half of $4.50. So I made like $11 an hour that day, which was huge.
That's $13.50.
That's something like that. I made that much, right? I think they should get paid that. And I think that like we should stop looking at time and a half as the height. And we need to start agitating for more double time and a half days. I think any holiday where most, like, I think any holiday where most people are off, you should get paid double time and a half.
Yeah.
Like the 4th of July, the fucking Memorial Day, Labor Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, I think that's all of them. Easter, but Easter's a Sunday. You should get paid on Easter, though. Just like you should have to get paid on Easter. You should get Monday off. I fully believe that no holidays on a Sunday. Like that's not fair.
But that's when he is risen.
I don't care when he is risen. I want Monday off. If I got to do a holiday, especially Easter, one where you got to get up and do the eggs and all that junk, give me a day off for that. I need to fucking recover. I ate 47 Reese eggs, yeah. And now I have a tum-tum ache.
Yeah, I think that really this is why we need to abolish salary, first of all. I mean, this is a stupid world to play around, but if we're fixing the world right now, yeah, there needs to be I get paid X amount of dollars Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 or whatever, 2 to 10 or whatever your normal thing is. But if I'm working outside of that time, you're going to have to put some extra on top of that, like for all of any extra time. And especially on these sacred days, the motherfucking weekend, I should be getting paid twice because I should not be here ever on the goddamn weekend.
Yep. Any day where everybody has off, any day yeah, where most people are off, I think it's a double time and a half day. It's only fair. Only fair. That's the point, because it's hazard pay in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, you motherfuckers are out having a good time.
That's true.
I'm here facilitating.
If you're doing retail or food on the weekend, that means you're dealing with a whole bunch of people that are off work trying to get the most out of their time. And that's going to be a fucking hassle for the rest of us.
Yep. All right, man, we did it. Give those American Airlines pilots their day off, or give them double time and a goddamn fucking half. I hope enough of them held out for double time and a half.
Yeah, we'll see. I know some people were scabbing. They got people that just read a book.
That's true. That's true. But we'll see.
We'll see.
See you guys on Sunday, right?
Sure.
Maybe.
I don't know the days. I can't promise the days. I let them marinate. Whenever it feels right, I just toss one down the chute there. But you get 2 street fights a week. We do that. We have the call-in show. We have the basement show. And if you want even more, you can get it at Patreon, patreon.com/streetfightradio. We have our bonus show going down over there. We had Aubrey Sitterson on. Brian talked to him. We did a show about new metal. We had Burgerville, Jordan from Burgerville on. I'm doing a show about Screamo, the genre of music, with Courtney Caldwell. I'm also doing an anime show with, Emma Bowers and Johnny Landmine. And Brian has got the Nick Weiger show, which will be coming out next, I think, and a whole bunch more. So please consider donating the show for $1. We are changing the Patreon structure for 2018. Beginning in 2018, for $3 a month, you can get a PDF copy of our zine. That's right. The zine is going to be available in digital format because it saves us time and it can save you money. You know, if you give us $5, giving us $5 for the zine worked really well for a while. But as they got thicker and as we gave out more rewards, you know, we were only making $1.50 to $2 for every $5 we took in. It's much easier for us to just give you a digital copy of that zine for $3 a month. If you still want it mailed to your house, we're going to do that for just $8 a month. So head over to patreon.com/streetfightradio. Although, now that I say that, that's the 2018 prices. So we're going to honor everybody that signed up for $5 on that zine. You have until the end of the year, December 31st. We're going to change it. Nobody can sign up for $5 zines anymore. And that's going to be the limit. Everybody after that is going to have to pay $8. So if you want to get in, now is the time. We are also going to be offering more of the videos, working with Nick to put out some specials. That's going to be happening, and that'll be tied in. And then we're also going to offer CBD. Cosmic Gardens was kind enough to reach out to us and offer some of their products. We really love it. We're big fans of CBD, especially if you smoke weed. They mix together very well. So we're going to start having CBD vape juice, CBD body butter, and CBD isolate in the Street Fight store, and then on the Patreon. You can donate and get some CBD isolate. it's pretty good. I mean, the isolate is like 99% CBD. You just take a little spoonful of that and swallow it up, and all your pain goes away after you hit that blunt. So please consider supporting Street Fight through any of those methods. We're hoping to get bigger and better and take over more of the media and what people are talking about to create something that works for the rest of us and for everybody. If you want to join us on this journey, all you got to do is subscribe and spread the word on social media. We're at Street Fight WCRS, StreetFightWCRS on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find us. We will see you later this week. Peace.
I'm going to wrap my presents up in red bandanas and leave some special cookies out for Santa. Throw my troubles to the wind till we're back on the road again. Here's to finding your own little peace on earth. And I hope you have a really, 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 really nice Christmas. If you're in Lucan, Bach, or Waikiki, I hope you have a really, 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 really nice Christmas. And may we all stay higher than the angel on the top of the tree.
Don't get caught up in the hustle and the bustle. This time of year ain't supposed to be so stressful. Here's to easy silent nights and finding your own paradise with whatever family might call your home.
Christmas, everybody.